How the hell do I start it? This is so nerve-wracking, Eli. You're the first one.
I'm thinking Jacob can't edit it.
Yeah, I know.
This reminds me when I start off my YouTube videos. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Every single time.
And it takes a while.
Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Photo Pros Weekly. This is season two, and we are starting off this week with Eli Infante. My name is Brandon Heiss. I'm joined by Olivia Tuttle. How are we doing, Olivia?
I'm great. Good to have Eli back, too.
Oh my gosh. Eli, it's been a year. How the hell you been?
Yes. I've been great. It's great that we got over COVID and going back to shooting, no more masks. And I'm just excited to be back for season two.
Yeah, we're excited to have you back. Now, people that may not know, and we maybe didn't listen to season one, but Eli is a high school photography teacher. So you're just ending school. How'd this year go? What's going on at the high school level?
So this was the first year that the students came back. Obviously, last year was majority of the year was taught virtually, which was horrible. So it was nice to see students come back and finally get some hands-on learning. Because, I mean, when you're teaching photography, and I also teach video, much better to teach in person and build, relationships with the students. So this year, so awesome to just finally be back. And it was a much, much better year than last year. And I just started summer break, so I'm in a good mood. I've been off for about a week now, but I got a busy July coming. I got a lot of workshops coming up, so excited for July.
Yeah, one of those is with us too.
Yes, yes, yes. So in July, I'll be in, I'll be in Chicago with Dodd Camera. And then I'll be in Ohio with you guys recording some YouTube content, doing a one-day workshop with my friend Marco. Then I'll be in Dallas. That one hasn't been announced yet, but that one's going to be at, can't remember the name of the camera place, but I'm going to be in Dallas. And then I want to say there's one more. I'm going to be in Houston actually in a couple of weeks to teach at PPGH. So busy July.
So school, summer break's here, but you're already booked up all
the summer. Yes.
Yeah. Do you ever do any personal traveling when you do that?
Okay, so that's a great question, Olivia. So in order to keep my girlfriend happy, like for Chicago, I'm like, okay, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone here. I'm going to go over there and teach at Dodd Camera, and then I'm going to stay there for like a day or two, and we're going to kind of just hang out and do our thing out there in Chicago. So we both love Chicago. We've already been there. I think it's going to be our third time. So we're going to go have fun out there and hang out. And when I go in Dallas, we'll probably do the same thing, probably go hiking around Dallas.
Yeah, I try to do that when I travel too. Just like, I mean, I guess I don't take extra days usually, but
just Olivia likes to sightsee.
Yeah.
I forget where we were.
What? When?
I don't know. One of the trips we've gone on.
Well, when Ashley and I just went to DC, we took time to go
to the monuments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty dead because it was winter.
Yeah, that's a terrible show. Not, the show itself
the show
is great.
Good. The weather.
The time of year is always in January, and it's always, you're at a convention spot, and you're, generally staying between four walls and a roof
exactly.
for 3 days straight.
Yeah, you can't really adventure out.
Right.
But we did.
Right. Well, sometimes it's
put my nice. Park on.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So Eli, I have a question about teaching at the high school level. And I'm hoping you're not going to highly disappoint me when I ask this question, but what kind of gear do they use in terms of cameras? Like, are they using iPhones? Are they using DSLRs? Have they jumped a mirrorless? Like, what kind of technology are they using? Because I'm sure there's some people listening who also are educators, or maybe they're students even, and would be curious to see if they're at the same level.
That's a great question, Brandon. So last year when we were doing online, we had to use cell phones. I actually sold one of my cell phones and gave it to one of my students because he didn't have one so he could take pictures. But now that we're back in person, we're using DSLRs, we're using Canon. And the cameras that we have a variety of different versions. I mean, we got the old school Canon T3Is, the Canon T3s, we got Canon T5Is. The most recent camera that I got was a Canon T8i.
Yep.
And so we're just using entry level DSLRs. We're also using lenses like the 50 millimeter primes, the good old 75 to 300 zoom lens, the kit lens 18 to 35, and the 24 millimeter prime. And we can get a lot of great creative stuff with that gear. Canon just announced their new, I think it was R10. So
yep, R10
at some point, I'm gonna be investing in that system. But based on my budget that I get, it's probably not gonna happen. But that's what I have for now. As far as lighting, I actually just invested in some Westcott gear. So my students that were doing the yearbook pictures, I bought one of those FJ200 backpacks that come with three of the FJ200s. And my students were using them. They loved it. They love how easy it was to use. And so next year, I'm going to be training the new students that are going to take over the yearbook, which are going to be the editors, and train them on how to use the Westcott lights and also use the X-Drop. So I also bought an X-Drop for them as well. I love it because it's super fast. Whenever I do sports portraits at school, you know, I used to use the paper. I think I texted you once, Brandon, and I was like, I hate having to set this thing up. So right now I'm just using the small X-Drop for the sports pictures. And we just have like the black background, works out super awesome. Instead of having to set up the paper, I used to struggle setting up that paper all by myself. So
yeah, paper's a
that's
kind of
like the go-to
right?
gear.
I mean, it really is. Yeah. I mean, who has time
and space to tote it around?
I feel like here's my problem with paper. As soon as I set it up and somebody steps on it, it's wrinkled.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like my OCD, but like it's dirty, it's wrinkled.
Yeah.
You have I like constantly tearing it off.
Yeah.
And it's and it's gone. And it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know what the funny thing is, Brendan, is I would tape it down, right? And I would tell the students, be careful when you're walking over it.
And it would
never failed. They would always trip over it and it would tear every single time.
Pain
every time.
Well, no, I think the reason I ask, I think it's cool that students are still using DSLRs. One, you know, I know it's not the mirrorless, but they're learning how to do real photography. Like they're learning the exposure triangle. I'm sure that's what you're teaching.
Absolutely.
Hopefully they're not over Photoshopping, and you know, I don't know. Do they even mess with Photoshop? Do you use Lightroom?
Go over like post with them?
So when I had a photography 2 class, I would cover like dodge and burn, frequency separation. But most students, honestly, at this age, it takes them a lot of time to understand the exposure triangle. A lot of it is muscle memory, learning what good compositional skills are.
Sure.
So I try to stray away from Photoshop, and I really keep it very basic when it comes to Lightroom. I teach more heavy the actual fundamentals of photography. And I only reserve Photoshop for the students that are like really eager to learn Photoshop. Most of the students that I get are more anxious about just learning how to take good pictures. So I focus on that.
That's good. And I think it's a good learning lesson for when they're making money with photography down the road, because nobody likes dealing with Photoshop or Lightroom, you know, like everybody wants to be shooting, getting it right in camera. And not
absolutely
have to worry about that stuff. So.
And you know what's funny though is that I started off with Photoshop and then I got into photography. So when I was a high school student, when I was a senior, I got introduced to Photoshop, was addicted right away. I was, you know, spending so much time playing around with all the filters. And then I slowly got into photography because of Photoshop. So I'm kind of lucky because I agree with you. There's a lot of people that hate Photoshop. And every time I do my workshops, they kind of get overwhelmed with dodge and burn and frequency separation and all these kind of terms and stuff. So totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. Even when I was in college, they were still kind of doing that a little bit with Photoshop first. And I mean, we didn't even, well, it probably got more advanced, but I didn't learn much about artificial lighting at all with photography. So it's cool to see, you know, people and teachers like you actually educating people
instead of saying crank your levels or
yeah
curves,
exactly
just add exposure this way. Well, that's good. No, so I that's good that you guys are teaching that. And you know, anything new, anything cool like coming that you're seeing, trends coming? I don't know if it's cool, if it's, but stuff that you're teaching that you think is
what
important.
Are the kids doing
what are the what are the cool kids doing?
You know, right now, I would say the new thing is the RGB lights. I got some flash tubes for my students, and they really enjoyed being able to change the colors. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's kind of something that, you know, I found really useful, because I don't get into the off-camera flash stuff until towards the end of the year. So I try to keep it like natural light, in a sense, using continuous light. So those RGB lights, you know, came in really helpful with a lot of the projects. Really just teaching them color theory. I think most students, because now the cell phones are taking over, they know how to do, you know, exposures with natural light, in a sense. But once they start introducing like different colors, it really starts to open up the door to so many different things. And a lot of students loved it, especially with my middle school students. Not only do I teach high school, but I also teach middle school as well. So they love just playing around with and experimenting with the colors.
Jake and I were just talking about that. He was saying we need them.
Yeah. I think I would agree. But I don't know if it's like a phase or a fad.
Yeah.
You know? I think what I've heard from a lot of the retail stores out there, they say, yeah, people think it's cool, but 95% of the time they're still using a Kelvin temperature between 3200 and 5500.
Yeah.
So it's like they're still
going
back.
You're just
not
getting the temperature with them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyways, you know, so you teach and that's cool, but a lot of people don't know that you also teach on YouTube. And
absolutely,
I want to say this, you're crushing it, man. I was like, how many followers does Eli have? And you're damn near 100,000 followers on YouTube. And it's killer content. Like,
yeah.
I have to say, you know, have you really put an emphasis towards that? I know probably now in the summer you're doing it. Or like, what's your strategy been with YouTube?
So I took advantage back when COVID just started. You know, so when COVID happened, it was in March. And I'll be honest, I really wasn't working for like 2 months. Like, we weren't, like, it just hit the schools and there was really no game plan. So we were kind of just administering like simple work online for April and May. And so I had so much more time on my hands. And so I released a lot of YouTube content around that time. And of course, people weren't able to go out. They weren't able to do photo shoots. So a lot of people were on YouTube. And so a lot of my growth happened around that time period. And I try to get at least one YouTube video out a month. Believe it or not, this year I've been actually really slow. I haven't been able to keep up as much as I would like. I've been busy more with my client stuff. I took on more client work than I should have, but now that I'm in summer break, I do have some new content coming out. I'm going to be collaborating with Capture One. I just had a meeting with them this morning, so I'm going to be doing some sponsored content for them. I do have some Westcott stuff that I want to do. I've recorded some BTS, you know, of I think using the Westcott FJ80s. So really, in order to be successful with this whole YouTube stuff, is a lot of times I just bring my Sony a6600 with me, record it on a tripod, and just to have extra video content, because right now Instagram Reels is taking over. So video is just so important to have, even if it's not like on a gimbal. If I could, I would love to hire somebody to come to all my photo shoots with a gimbal and record, but unfortunately, that can't always be the case. But it's funny, my most successful content on YouTube has been with like really crappy 1080p little, I think it was the DJI Pocket. And a lot of people don't even care how the quality looks. As long as you're teaching them something and you're giving something to them to learn, I think that's what matters most.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of that. Well, I mean, in general, Instagram, like you said, the reels are just taking over. So people do like those, even if it's low quality, but just like snippets of education.
I like that you're not making any excuses. You're not saying, hey, I need a video person to follow me around. You're just setting it up. And
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know anything about, did you say Sony 6600?
A6600. Yeah. Yes, that's the one I'm
pretty
using.
Pretty good price point on that? Or is that one of your older cameras?
You know, I nowadays it's a little bit older now that so many cameras have been released, but I love it. It's my favorite APS-C camera for Sony because it has the flip up screen. I'm not a big fan of the side flip because the flip up screen, when I record YouTube content, that helps me like just look straight into the camera opposed to having to look off to the side just a little bit. So, and the battery life is amazing. I used to have the A6500 and oh my gosh, the battery life on the older APS-C cameras were pathetic. And this one has the Z9. So it's awesome. So if I'm recording 4K content and I'm recording a photo shoot, recording there for like 15, 20 minutes, I can record a whole photo shoot and not have to worry about it, the battery dying. Because I was using the GoPro and oh my gosh, the GoPro batteries are horrible. I can't deal with that. I have to have good battery life on the cameras that I'm using.
How long does a shoot usually last? Like when you're recording the whole setup from start to beginning or start to end?
You know, it usually on average about 2 hours. I try not to exceed over 2 hours because usually the subject is going to just be tired mm-hmm. and exhausted after that point. So anywhere between an hour and a half to 2 hours. Now, of course, you know, we'll take breaks from time to time, but it also depends if we're also in the studio or outdoors. I think the last time I talked to you all, I was barely kind of finding my flow into the studio. And so now I've been spending more time shooting in the studio. And so studio, obviously, you don't have to deal with this Texas heat. Like right now we're in the summer. We're looking at 100 degree weather from this point on up until September. So shooting in the studio is a lot more relaxing because, you know, we don't have to deal with all the conditions outdoors.
They're the opposite of us. They they go in the studio in the summer. We go in the studio in the winter.
Yep.
You know, we can't stand the cold. They can't stand the heat.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going to Ohio next month. So
yeah, we're looking forward to having
it'd be curious to see how it's going to be out there.
Hey, are those classes sold out or
yes, can people it just still... sold out.
Okay,
it just sold out a few days ago. Marco texted me, and so that one sold in Chicago sold out. So
all right. So if people want to see Eli when he's up in Ohio, they've got to guess what our location is going to be and find us doing some Westcott U content.
Yeah.
So
hide in the bushes.
It's going to be like a scavenger hunt. We'll let you know. Yep. He's going to be here in mid-July in the Toledo area. So good luck.
Eli, do you prefer shooting indoor or outdoor more?
Oh my gosh. Somebody had just asked me that on Instagram and it's hard to answer that because I love both of them. Both of them provide their challenges. You know, I feel like shooting outdoors is that's like my bread and butter. You know, I'm so used to shooting outdoors because I can find a location because my style, I love shooting like abandoned locations, anything with texture or grunge. And I can just find a wardrobe for that and find, you know, a subject or model that can fit that location. And I can work with everything within that environment. So it's a little bit easier. But then you have to deal with, like I was mentioning earlier, like what kind of weather is it going to be? Is it going to be cloudy? Are we going to get that epic sunset? You know, what are the conditions going to be? The studio is awesome because now it's a little bit easier to work with indoors because you have the air conditioning. But now all the styling is all up to you. The colored background that you're going to choose, the wardrobe, it stands out a lot more in the studio, the makeup, the hair. And so I really like the studio because it's providing more challenges for me and it's making me think a lot differently than when I was just always shooting outdoors. I felt like it was very repetitive for me. Mm-hmm. And so studio has been very refreshing as of late because I find myself almost being a student all over again, learning new things, especially like the optical spot. I use it. I don't use it to its full capacity. So this summer I've been practicing with it. And just trying to figure out how to work with hard light. I think that's another weakness of mine is not being able to utilize hard light. And so the studio just offers so much different opportunities that you can't necessarily get outdoors. Like both of them have their pros and cons. But to answer your question, oh my gosh, I don't know right now. I would say it's like split 50-50. I love both. I like the balance. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Both
but
of
you
them
said
provide...
like you get benefits from both. So I think one of my favorite things about your photography is seeing what accessory you're throwing in there too.
Yeah, you got some random shit.
I know. I'm like, always... I would never have thought of that.
That's what keeps it interesting. Yeah. So,
Is
there any new accessories, non-photo related, non-photo accessory that you've been using for your recent work?
So just in the studio, like 2 days ago, it's been a trend online. I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's something called Mylar. And I bought it back in January and I never used it. And I should have used it like back in January because now a lot of photographers are using it. But if you don't know what Mylar is, it's basically like a sheet of reflective material and you can shoot light into it and it kind of creates this kind of water effect on the wall and on the ground. So I do have some, like, a photo shoot in mind. I was practicing with my friend Roland. We were kind of figuring out, okay, how are we going to introduce this Mylar and these reflections in there? So that's one of the tools that I've been using. And I can't think of anything else. I think that's the one that really stands out, is not photo related, because it's not even meant for photos. I think it's meant for, I think it's for outdoors or gardening or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I had a better green thumb.
I'll send you guys a photo after this, and you guys will see what I'm talking about. I'm trying to see if maybe, I think Joseph Ford probably has done it, because Joseph Ford is another top pro. I know he does a lot of, like, high-end fashion work, and I'm sure he probably has something with that Mylar stuff.
We'll ask him. I think we're on with him in a few weeks.
Yeah, we are.
So, cool. How about apps? This is something I always wonder. Like, is there any photography apps that you use? One that I've been finding pretty cool, just, it doesn't even need to be for photography, but it's called Sunseeker.
Allows you to see where
the sun's going to be. You can literally dial in. You're like, July 4th at 8 p.m., where's the sun going to be? And it'll show in the sky. And you can, like, point your phone towards the sky, and it'll actually show.
Somebody just used that for one of our shoots.
It's pretty cool. But any apps you use, Eli?
So actually, it's funny that you mentioned the Sunseeker app. That's actually the I use that app, and I think in my first YouTube video, I mentioned the Sunseeker app. And every time I mention it to people, they always freak out. So I actually want to do, like, an Instagram reel about that, because I think it's very helpful. Back when I used to do weddings, that's an app that I used to use a lot of the times, because I was trying to figure out, you know, where the sun was going to be at certain times through the wedding. But another app that I was using a lot with my students was the, where is it? I just had it here right now. Snapseed. Really awesome app. This is what I was using with my students when we were online teaching. It's great for editing your photos. It's fantastic. And another one, it's kind of photo related, but it's more video. It's called InShot. It's a free app. And that's what I actually edit my reels on. So right now, what I'm trying to do with reels on Instagram, I'm trying not to stress out about it. Like, there's so many things that I need to get better at, and I'm trying not to spend too much time on reels. So I need something where I can edit these reels quickly. Like, I could edit them, like, in 4 minutes. And every time I introduce it to somebody on Instagram, because they ask me, I say, like, hey, man, how are you editing your reels? I'm like, oh, I'm using InShot. It's free. All you got to do is just record a little bit of BTS, put your photo, put the behind the scenes. And everybody freaks out at how easy it is to edit. So that app is a lifesaver. I love that app, and it's 100% free, so it's super cool.
Olivia's, I'm stealing that from you.
She's taking notes right now.
I use Splice on my phone when I, like, will quickly edit them.
Yes, there's a bunch of apps. There's so many. I think there's, like, 3 or 4 different apps. This was the first one that I think one of my students had introduced me to, so I started using that one, and super cool.
Okay. Maybe we'll get some money for marketing those.
This podcast is the biggest thing ever.
Like, we're mentioned.
Everybody's listening. No. All right, Eli, I have a personal question.
Okay.
In all your YouTube videos, you start out, and I'm going to butcher this, but you say, todo el pedo.
Say that again, Fred.
Todo el pedo. Is that good? And now
it's todo el pedo.
Todo el pedo. All right. So
sounds the same.
So translate that for me.
So, okay, look. And I knew this question. I had a feeling you were gonna ask me this question.
So this is crazy though. Do you know what it translates to? I did a Google translate.
I know what I know what it translates to.
I don't
to,
know what it translates to.
Eli.
Okay. So the word pedo can mean so many different things. It could mean you're drunk. It can mean what's up. It can mean that you farted. So it can be, it's like Mexican slang. So you have to be from, like, the South Texas area in order for you to kind of, like, understand kind of, like, the joke. But I got it from my dad, because basically what todo el pedo means is, like, you want everything. Like when I say it on YouTube, I'm saying, like, I'm going to cover the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Kind of like Peter Hurley says, shebang,
yeah.
You know, like the whole shebang, right? And so my dad, when he used to say it, you know, like, let's say we were cooking out, and I'd be like, hey, Dad, what do you want in the burger? Do you want onions, tomatoes, pickles, everything, or what? He'd be like, yes, todo el pedo. Andale. Todo el pedo. Or my grandma would be making, like, food. Like, so let's say we're cooking out, and she's making the sides, like rice and pico de gallo and beans. Yeah. I'd be like, man, grandma, you're making everything. And she'd be like, sí, mijo, todo el pedo. So... When I started my YouTube channel, I literally didn't think that a lot of people were going to think it was funny or whatever. And it just kind of picked up. Like, people just, every time they'll be like, todo el pedo, ha, ha, ha. And so when I started YouTube, I just did it for fun. I was not, you know, thinking it was going to take off, like my YouTube channel or the catchphrase, todo el pedo. And so I kind of stuck with it, and it's, you know, every once in a while I'll get a comment. Somebody's like, hey, I just put it on Google Translate. It translated to all the farts. And
all
I'm like,
the farts. That's what I saw. All the farts. And I go, what the hell is going on? What is Eli talking about? And he's still doing it. He's got 100,000 followers almost. And he's still talking about all the farts.
You're gonna see Westcott in their next video. We're gonna cover the little
all the gas.
Exactly.
I'm gonna start saying that.
So yeah, that's kind of the story behind it, man.
That's awesome.
Wait, we should get some stickers for your workshop though. With that,
hey, I made some t-shirts actually.
Oh, did you?
I was actually when I did the San Antonio workshop back in, I think it was in March. I gave them away and stuff. So one of my friends who attended my Dallas workshop last summer, he's a graphic designer. He does these amazing illustrations, and he surprised me. He sent me a message on Facebook. He was like, hey, look what I did. And he designed this like really cool shirt with my silhouette of myself, like this illustration. And then he put like todo el pedo on there. I was like, dude, I got to get some of these. So I ordered like, I don't know, 50 of them. You know what? If I have enough, I don't know what y'all sizes are, but I'll take some when I go to Ohio.
I'll take a large.
I'll take any size.
And you know what? Okay. People will give me funny looks when I'm walking down the
street. Yes. In Ohio,
stay
yes.
Away from I don't that. Think
stay away from that
know.
Guy. Stay away
Nobody
from
up yes. here is going to know what that means.
I don't know.
Yes. I don't know. So I recommend you only wear it around the house.
Yeah. I had to ask because, that was, I was like, I've watched a number of your videos now, and I'm like, he always says this. Like,
that's funny. Have you ever clarified on a video or anything, or do you just let people Google it?
You know what, Olivia? I think in one video I did mention it, but I just gave up. I'm like, you know what? If they get it, they get it. They don't, it's okay.
That's so funny.
The meaning makes a lot more sense now, though. I like it. It sounds cool,
but
it's like a family
not
thing.
Not knowing what it means.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. Yeah. That's why I brought it up, because we need to know the background of the story. So.
Yes. Good My stuff. Other catchphrase is "Si se puede con infante." So.
What's that one?
That has something to do with farts.
That one's you can do it with Eli Infante. It sounds better. It's smoother with in Spanish, though.
So say it again.
Every time I say it, people think I'm like a presidential campaign, but I say "Si se puede con infante."
And that means what?
You can do it with Eli Infante.
That does sound very politician.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a politician thing. So maybe I'll make some Si se puede con infante t-shirts as well. We'll see.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
I have to be honest.
It takes up a lot more of a t-shirt.
I almost said Gesundheit. Awesome. Well, what else is going on in your world? You working on any other big projects? Collaborating with anybody? Do anything fun?
You know, that's a great question. So... when I go to Chicago, I reached out to Manny Ortiz. So we're supposed to hang out. Hopefully we'll be able to hang out and do some stuff out there. So after I do the Dodd camera presentation, I'm going to hang out with him. And I have some friends also that are attending my workshop that invited me to a photo shoot that they're going to be doing. So that'll be cool. And then, of course, we got the awesome workshop with you guys on Friday the 15th with my friend Marco. And what's cool about that is Marco's been concentrating on dance photography lately. So I told him, I was like, dude, hire a dancer for the workshop. So he already found a dancer. So during one of the shoots and the, I think it's gonna be like a three light setup section. We're gonna have a dancer there. So I'm super excited for that, because he's really good at that stuff. Gonna be working with B&H. I have an event space with them Wednesday the 20th. And then,
like I said,
I'll be in Dallas.
Wait.
Mm-hmm. With competitive camera.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm going to be in New York on the 20th. We should connect, but
Texas. But I'm going to be, yes, it's going to be a virtual thing. Yeah. Gotcha. I won't be I won't be there in person.
Gotcha.
And then I'm supposed to, when I go to Dallas for competitive camera, I reached out to another photographer. You guys might have seen his work, Keedron Franklin. So he goes by 924 Photography on Instagram. So I might do like a YouTube collab with him in July. So that'll be cool. So that's kind of like what my game plan is. Other than that, I'm just going to try to shoot as much as possible. I was supposed to shoot today, but the shoot got canceled. It's no biggie.
Your 6 p.m. one?
Yes. I was bummed about that, but it's okay because I still want to finalize a little bit of the lighting. So I'm actually using some of the new Westcott FJ80 accessories with a little creative pack that was just released. Yeah. So I want to tweak it just a little bit more. So I have all the wardrobe and the colors in place, but I want to refine the lighting. So it gives me a little bit more time to think it through. But yeah, other than that, I'm like my July is pretty slammed, and I'm actually already booking for next year already. I had a meeting with AZ PPA, Arizona PPA.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to do a workshop with them next year in July in Sedona. So that's pretty exciting. I'm excited for that one.
So you got dressed up for this and your shoot, and
yeah, we're not doing.
Don't
video.
Have a shoot, and we don't have video.
Your day's ruined.
Exactly.
He's just like,
better take your girlfriend on a date if your hair looks this good.
Yeah,
I know. That's exactly. That's exactly what I'm gonna do. Actually, we're gonna go to Dallas in 2 days. Actually, so that'll be fun.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, good stuff, man. I'm excited to hear what you do with Manny. You guys are both creative as hell. So seeing what you guys can do, definitely. If you can, when you're going to Chicago around the 3rd, right? The early part of July.
Yes. So I'll be teaching with Dot Camera July 2nd.
Post some lives with Manny. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
Just like throw Westcott like down there somewhere so I can share it.
Absolutely.
Let Olivia
you
know.
Got it.
Yeah. Let Olivia know. Well, good stuff, man. Well, that's all we've got. If you don't have anything else, it was awesome having you, Eli. And again, this is first episode of season 2 of Photo Pros Weekly. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe so you get notified every time a new episode's available. And we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.